Our reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, the second chapter. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. The Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So last summer, when COVID gave us a lot of extra free time, my family launched an experiment. We decided that we were going to grow our own vegetables. And so on our back deck, we bought those 5-gallon orange buckets from Home Depot. We filled them with dirt. We planted way too many seeds in each one of the buckets because we did not know what we were doing. And lo and behold, stuff grew. And it was amazing. And for us, that first summer was a success because normally in our house, we kill plants. Like, they don't grow. And so the fact that we got anything out of that first year's worth of growing vegetables was really amazing for us, and it felt like a win. So this summer, we planted the garden again, but in August, we decided that this summer was going to be the last summer for us to grow vegetables because the shine had kind of worn off. The novelty of it wasn't very amazing, and we didn't really enjoy tending to the vegetables. And what we realized was, like, there are stores that we can buy these things in. Like, I don't know what made us forget that, but that was way easier to go and buy the vegetables than for us to grow them ourselves. What we were growing is a commodity. And there are lots of things in our lives that are commodities, and we make decisions about these commodities on the basis of our preference. The food we eat is a commodity. The cars we drive are commodities. The television shows that we watch are commodities. We like them and we choose them because we like them, but we might like something else just as well, and we might choose that. But not everything in our lives is a commodity. And I think a major problem in our world and even a major problem in the church is that we treat community like a commodity. We decide we want a bigger house, and so we leave our neighborhoods and we move somewhere else without a lot of regard for the relationships that will be disrupted with the neighbors, the relationships we built with them. We think we can find those same kinds of relationships in the next neighborhood, as though community was a commodity. We want a job that earns more money, and so we move to another part of the country, uprooting our kids from their schools and moving us away from family, thinking that we'll find relationships equally compelling in the next town, as though community is a commodity. We don't like what's going on in our churches, and so, you know, maybe the sermons are making us uncomfortable, or the music is changing, or another church has better programs, and so we switch, thinking that the relationships that we find in the next church will be just like the ones that we're leaving, as though community is a commodity. And look, there's no judgment coming from me because I've done all these things. Like, I've moved out of neighborhoods, I've moved cities, I've changed churches, and in all these cases, I thought I had good reasons to do so. Even though in one sense we live in the most connected generation in the history of the world because of technology and social media, people are lonelier than they've ever been before because we treat community like a commodity. And when we treat community like a commodity, particularly in the church, we miss out on what God wants to do in and through our lives. Because community is not a commodity. Community is the soil that causes the seed of the kingdom of God to take root and to bear fruit. So we're in this series called Growing in Grace. And our foundational verse for this series has been 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It's up on the screen. Let's read it together. Instead, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him belongs glory, now and forever. Amen. So we've been talking about how grace and knowledge are critical to glorifying God with our lives, but that they are not the same thing. That grace and knowledge are actually distinct. Because you can read a lot of books, you can learn about Jesus, you can go to Bible studies, but if something isn't growing in you as a result of that, if grace is not growing, if you are not growing in grace, there's something that's missing. Certainly the grace of God found in the death and resurrection of Jesus is absolutely about the forgiveness of sins and the defeat of death. That is central to what grace is. That's not all that grace is. Every good thing that comes into our life comes to us by grace. We didn't earn it, and we're not entitled to it. It comes to us by grace. And when we wake up to that in gratitude, when we look around and see all the ways that God has blessed us, not just on the cross and in the resurrection, but by giving us gifts and talents and abilities to earn money, by giving us opportunities to step into the next phase of our life, by surrounding us with family and with community and with a church. These are not things that we did ourselves. God has blessed us with this by God's grace. And when we realize that, we see that we get so much grace, we can't keep it to ourselves. It overflows from us into the lives of others, and it overflows into a world that looks at the church, that looks at the gospel of Jesus Christ, and asks the question, so what? 50,000 cars drive by this building every Sunday, and there's no question about in their mind about what we do in here. Their question is, so what? And it's the grace that overflows out of our lives and into the lives of others that answers that question. So what? God has saved you. God has blessed you. God pours grace into your life so that through you, God can do the same for others. Growing in grace doesn't just mean that the awareness of grace for you grows. It also means that the amount of grace flowing from you grows. That you are a conduit of grace through the principal commitments of a disciple of Jesus and a member of the local church. And we've articulated that as giving, reaching, attending, connecting, and equipping. That overflow of God's grace through your life and into the lives of others, when we do it together, when we do it in the context of community, it multiplies the overflow. It multiplies what comes out of us into the world. And actually, the sum is greater than the parts. Because that's how grace works. When we connect deeply with other disciples of Jesus, the grace multiplies and it flows amongst us within the walls of the body of Christ and beyond as well. Now, around here at King of Kings, we talk about being a family of faith. And that's not uncommon language for a church that our size. A lot of churches would understand themselves that way, where everyone has the opportunity to engage in relationship with one another. But family is a tricky word because everyone's experience of family is different. Some have a good experience, some have a not so good experience. But I think what everyone can agree on is that family is not meant to be a commodity. That the relationships that we have within family can't really be found anywhere else. And the scriptures use family language when they talk about the body of Christ, when they talk about faith communities, when they talk about the church. In Paul's letters, he refers to his audience as brothers and sisters. He talks about being a spiritual parent for them, and he calls them to live as siblings. Jesus himself affirms this in Matthew chapter 12. He was going around and he was proclaiming the good news and he was stirring up trouble. And his mother and his brothers were worried about him. And so they went to go find him. And this is what happened in Matthew 12. Jesus stretched out his hands toward his disciples and said, "Look, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." Jesus expanded the definition of family beyond blood. And in fact, uplifted the spiritual family as even superseding the blood family in his life. You cannot walk away from Scripture without seeing that the church is called to be family, because community is not a commodity. Now, we do have to recognize that we're separated from the early church by, you know, a couple thousand years of history and a few thousand miles of geography. But it's not like there were things that they were doing that aren't entirely inaccessible. Like, human beings haven't changed that much. And so they recognized their need to gather, and they recognized the power of gathering. There was a deep connection to one another in the early church. There was care and concern for those in need, and this commitment to being together on a regular basis. And what we see that's really different about the early church versus the 21st century church in America is the breakthrough of God really breaking in and doing some incredible things. God performed signs and wonders through the apostles. People getting healed. People having their lives changed. There were supernatural and sacrificial acts of generosity. We hear this part of Acts chapter 2 where they talk about people selling their possessions and giving it away. And that makes us really nervous, because we're not sure that we want to do that, right? There was significant growth in the community on a daily basis. And I wonder if we don't see these things because for too many in our world, community is a commodity. There's something that happens when you commit together to living out the teachings of Jesus, to relating to each other, eating with one another, praying together. That commitment cultivates community. These rhythms of learning and relating and eating and praying become like seeds going sown into the soil that eventually take root and bear fruit. And in our 21st century American church context, I think a lot of people treat the church as a place where they can come in, you know, they have a few superficial conversations about the weather or about the sports teams or you know, whatever it is, and then they come into the sanctuary and experience God in sort of a passive and an individual way, and then they leave not really having made real connection with a community and think that that's what God desires for them. I think that's how a lot of people in our culture treat church and think that that's the way it's supposed to be. And here's a plot twist for you. It's not. It's not what God intended for the church to be. We were created for far deeper connection with one another than often what we see. This learning and relating and eating and praying, that's what drives deep the connections that we were created to have with one another. Over the last few months, Laura and I, some of you know this, we've been wrestling with where we're going to live long term. We've been renting for the last 4.5 years, and it's been fine, but there's things about our house that we don't love that, you know, probably aren't going to get solved by living in a rental property. And yet there are things about where we live that we absolutely love. We love how close we are to the church, that I could be here in a couple of minutes. We love our neighborhood, and we love how our kids can go out and play with their friends. Our house backs up to our backyard, sort of butt up to the backyards of other young families, and the kids just go in the middle and just play together, and we can send them out for hours and hours, and they leave us alone, and it's just kind of amazing. Don't tell my girls that I said that. But they love it too. When they see their neighbors, their friends outside, they come running upstairs if they're in the basement, or they beg us to go outside and play because they just have these really great relationships with their friends. We also live in a neighborhood that is incredibly diverse. I mean, Orion is sort of homogenous, you know, racially, culturally, socioeconomically. Our neighborhood is not, and it's awesome to have our kids growing up in a place that resembles the world that they're growing up into. And our neighborhood is also filled with people who are predominantly not connected to faith, not connected to a church community. And so we really do believe that, at least for this season of our life, God has positioned us in the neighborhood we're in to make a positive impact for the gospel. And so we've got to wrestle with, you know, where really do we want to live? Are we turning the community into a commodity if we decide to move because we want a bigger house, or, you know, our garage is tiny, or we live on a hill, or any of these other reasons? Do those really matter in comparison to this opportunity for community that we have where we live? And I would say, too, that we are connected with our neighbors, but I think there's a deeper level we can go. I think there's a deeper connection that can be made. It will just take work to cultivate it. It's like when we tried to cultivate the bucket garden, but the difference is that unlike the vegetables that we can just go over to Aldi and buy, community is not a commodity. We can't just replace what we have by going somewhere else. Community is the soil that allows the kingdom of God to take root and to bear fruit. And so the work is worth it. And it's worth it in whatever community you're a part of, whether it's a neighborhood community, a city that you're in, a church that you're a part of. It's worth it to set aside what might be a preference and to do the work of cultivating that community, finding ways to learn and to relate and to eat and to pray together. Cultivating community so that it's not easily interchangeable. That it's not a commodity. That it becomes the soil that allows the kingdom of God to take root and to bear fruit. And I believe that when we do that in whatever community we find ourselves in, we will see amazing things happen. Now, some of this cultivation that I'm talking about needs to happen in this family of faith, in this community that we find ourselves in. For us to truly be a church family, we need to be connecting deeply with one another. It's one of the principal commitments that we make as a disciple of Jesus and a member of a local church. It's one of the commitments that we discussed back in August. Those of you who were part of the worship life conversation and sustaining that, it's one of the things that we said, we really need to lean into this to really sustain the worship life that we've had. And so to begin the work of cultivating that kind of community, we're going to be rolling out an expanded group life here at King of Kings. So when you came in today, each of you got a card that looks like this. I invite you to get this out. Now, there are already groups that are gathering at different times, but what we really want to do is offer more of these opportunities. We want to expand the availability of these opportunities. And so on this card that you got, there's an opportunity for you to indicate interest in that. You obviously, your name and your email, you can mark down whatever your availability is. We do have groups, or we intend to have groups that meet both during the day and in the evening. We have groups that meet on Zoom as well as in person. And so listing what your preference is, or if it doesn't matter, we can plug you in with either. And so take some time during the service today and indicate your interest in this. And then on your way out, next to the offering plate, there's a basket you could just drop the card in. We'll be working over the next week or so to collate this and to get folks arranged in groups. And through our group life at King of Kings, one of the practices that we're really going to be promoting is something called Discovery Bible. And Discovery Bible is a way of equipping each person to hear from God through the scriptures. That not just to rely on someone else to interpret the scriptures for you, not just rely on a sermon or a Bible study where you kind of have to listen and to what the quote-unquote expert says. Each of us has the same Holy Spirit living inside of us. So each of us has the same access to hearing from God. So each of us has the same capacity to take what God is saying through the scriptures and apply them to our lives. Now, we need community to help us with that. And so that's what our group life is really going to focus on. We're also going to be encouraging our groups to meet together at different times for meals, to be find ways to be generous in time, talent, and treasure, to build community socially, and to pray together. If you're already a part of this group, there's no need to fill this out. But what our goal really is to ensure that everyone who recognizes the importance and the need to be a part of a community, to connect deeply in the context of community, that everyone has the chance to do so. Because community is not a commodity. It is the soil that the seed of the kingdom of God can grow, that can take root and bear fruit. And doing the work of cultivating it is worth it.